So good to see you. And so I wanted to take just a minute today, talk to you about what's happening on Liberty Street. When I see these kids up here doing what they do today, I'm thinking it's a lot about that. It's a lot of about investing in this next generation. And I think of my age now, and I shared this story with all of you before when we were looking at this and was thinking, you know, is this just another thing that we want to do? And I just continually felt impressed of the Lord that it was an opportunity again to share the gospel in the city that He's called us to here. But as I just move in that direction, I find out more and more how He's going to use these young people that you're seeing doing what they're doing here in the days ahead in a powerful way. He really is. My grandson and Grayson Huntington, they're both great athletes. And I felt the Lord just this morning, and it was just to those two here in the moment that we were at this morning. And it just brought tears to my eyes because I saw those young boys helping other kids that maybe don't have any mentors that can help them in that gymnasium and showing them the love of God, that you don't have to get it through hurting yourself or abusing yourself. You can feel affirmation from God through His people, and that's what this is about. And you need to know that today. Each one of you, you are called by God to do something great. And if we don't do it, the Bible says the rocks and stones will cry out, and I'm not going to let that happen. We are going to be used by God to do great things in this world. Amen. So we had a leader meeting last Tuesday. We have one once a month, and we went over there and had a time of prayer and worship in the sanctuary. It's so pretty, and you'll all get a chance. It's just dirty right now. It had been just, you know, nothing's happened there for 3.5-4 years. And so we went in there, and we were praying and doing some singing and just could feel God doing what He does. And the more that I go over there and work and serve, and I find out that when we were engaging in purchasing the property, that I thought the church may be part of the least. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I just thought, okay, the Lord will use somebody else in there or something. But the more I'm there, I'm finding out, no, the Lord wants to use us in that and to help people. And I've had people almost on a daily basis, everywhere we go, what are you going to do? Are we going to have Mass in there again? And I always want to be a little covert on that, although it'll be different. But we are going to start another service in that building at some point. It'll be in a few months from now. I'll keep you informed in it. And we're working to make that happen, taking care of things now. And I'm so happy. A man that has helped us in this church with our electric, and I think he's one of the greatest guys in the county, maybe in Western New York, to do electrical work, is here. And his son, Craig, is here, and it's his birthday. And he asked his son what he wanted for his birthday. He said, I want you to come to church. Art Nakamoto, just wave your hand here this morning. I thought that was so cool. An artist helped us, and he's helping us so much to make sure we have the right lighting and everything. But so the closer we get to that, I find out, okay, Lord, you do want to use us in this church to help people that maybe wouldn't come in this building. But boy, they are connected to that. And I know that, you know, we're not to be connected to a building. God doesn't live in the walls of this building. But I can't tell you the amount of times that people have said, you know, my grandparents helped start that. And, you know, they were married in there. And then my parents were married. And we were married. And we grew up. And, you know, Art was telling me that he got put in. He showed me the little room that he was naughty in the They put them in there. I like that. I'm thinking about, I got a few in mind that I want to put in there too. But so many people with so much history. How many of you went to school there? Let me see your hand. Is anybody in here? There's a few. How many of you ever went to church there? Let me see your hand. Wow, look at you. And so the obvious will be the great use of the gym, and we're working. That's getting ready for new lighting and painting and cleaning up, and we've just been cleaning up a lot of stuff. So pertaining to the church, I really felt the Lord just nudge me in this. He said if 50 people would give $20 a week over and above the regular giving, that would be the seed to make that happen. We created a little place on the push pay where you can go on there. It says St. Anthony's right on it, and you can give to that. And I was the first one I know that did that because I felt the Lord even before I told anybody that that's what we were supposed to do. So if we had that and had that working, that would be that seed to make that happen. And then if we had 30 people that would say, I want to help and serve, whether it's, you know, sound or I'm really feeling that we need people to just agree to love and to show the love of God. And then when God really begins to help people, to help pastor those people, help love them through whatever situation that they're going through and growing through. And we'll find our way through that. But I really believe that's, you know, and the Lord is always, this is how he works with me. I remember when we bought this, and a guy come up to me. He says, what's your 10, your 15, your 20, and 30-year plan? I looked at him, and I said, I don't even have a 15-minute plan. I'm just, every day, I'm, okay, yes, Lord, yep, okay. And so that's what we're doing with that property as well. And I'm just excited, and I'm thankful that we get to serve. We get to serve. Let me say it again. We get to serve. And some great things are going to happen, and you're going to be a part of it. So I wanted to share that with you this morning, and just, you know, be praying on that, how the Lord would have you partake and participate in that. To date, we've had right at around $60,000 that has been given towards that. That's for the purchase of the building and then money and finances afterwards as well. And so I thank God for that. But if God moves on any of you at any time and you want to sow something, just I want you to feel free to. And I didn't tell you this, I really felt the Lord that we are not to change the name of the property, but this is what he showed me. I saw a picture of it, and that it will be called St. Anthony's, and then underneath it'll have A City Church. So it'll be easy to identify and to understand on an ongoing basis, because to take away the name that has been there since. There's a cornerstone in the building, 1919. To try to change that, I think, would not only be difficult, maybe even be offensive, and we don't want to do that. We're not here to be offensive to anybody. And I know some people, you know, some have all kinds of opinions. Listen, there are born-again, saved Catholics, and then there are not. There are born-again, saved Methodists, and then there are not. And it doesn't matter whether you're Catholic, you're Nazarene, you're Methodist, you're Presbyterian, you're Pentecostal, you're Independent, you're Salvation Army, you're, I don't know, Baptist, First Baptist, American Baptist, Southern Baptist, whatever, Baptist. If you go to heaven, you will not be asked, are you a Presbyterian? Are you a Catholic? You will not be asked that. And the Bible says there's no other name whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. By no other name given among men whereby we are saved. None. There's none. He is the only way. He is the way, he is the truth, and the life. In him is life, and it was the light of all men. Jesus is the one. So, if you give your heart to Christ, all those other things, you know, and when I say that, I'm not denigrating any one of them. I thank God for all the denominations, but they don't save you. Jesus is the only one who can save you. Amen. Come on today. You ought to be happy about that. And let me say this too. When you give, you're giving on behalf of a project. But when you give, you're giving to Jesus. Is this working, Ben? You got me on? I said when you give, you're giving to Jesus. Okay. God, for the next few minutes, just whatever comes out of my mouth, help me, Jesus, today. We give you thanks and honor for everything that has taken place heretofore. And I pray that you will bless this now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I just want a few minutes of your time this morning. It won't be long. I'm so thankful for all the gifts and these young people and older alike. I mean, Debbie, you're just so beautiful on the keyboard over there. As always, we so appreciate you. I want to talk to you just for a couple minutes this morning about this thought from the inside out and how God wants to work on the inside of you more even than he does on the outside of who you are. In saying that, I'm not telling you just to let your outside go and that, you know, God is pleased if everything is right on the inside, because I firmly believe that once the inside is right, that he makes the outside even look so much better. He changed who you are, changed the way you look, changed the way you talk. He changes everything about you. A.W. Tozer said, to be right with God is often meant to be in trouble with men. And I love that. Psalm 149:4 says, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Do you know that when Christ becomes a part of your heart and your life, that he makes you look better than you could ever look before? And our society puts such an emphasis on our outward appearance. But God wants you and I to look towards the inward and not only look at it and view it, but he wants us to give it over to Christ. And I'm all for looking good. I think you'll look good. The better you look, the better you act. I think it's great. The Bible says God looks on the heart. I had a guy wanting to get an argument with me about this years ago. He wanted to come in, you know, he looked rough. And he says, I don't care how I look. God looks on the heart. But he left out the other part of that verse, that man looks on the outward appearance. And if you go to get a job in pajamas, a t-shirt, and slippers, you ain't going to get hired. So you got to work on the outward, but you can't neglect the inward as well. You can't neglect it and just put all the emphasis on making everything on the outside look good while you leave your inside in trouble. The Bible says he'll beautify you with his salvation. Did you know that when you surrender to Christ, you just will look better? And it starts not from the outside in, but it starts from the inside out, because he works on the inner man. And the real you may be not be visible to everyone, and maybe no one else really can see it or know it. But I want you to know today, God knows it, and he is known for doing just that, looking at the inward of man. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 32 that Jacob, he was born, he was called a deceiver, he was crooked, he was a scammer and a liar. But the Bible says that he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And in that encounter with God, that God unmasked who he used to be and began to call him by what he would be. He gave him a new name. He says, you're now Israel. He went from the name of Jacob, which meant worm, to now being called Israel, which meant prince with God. Isn't that wonderful? When God has an encounter or you do with him, he not only changes your inside, he begins to work on the outside, and he gives you a new name because he touches you. And then there's a great message in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. You know that story. Jesus was out, the Bible says, and he got tired, and he sat down by the well, but there was more to it than that. And a woman, the Bible says, came along, and he asked her for a drink, and she began to give him the story about how can a Jew ask a Samaritan, we're dirty, we're not clean to you. And Jesus said, if you knew who asked you for a drink, you would take me up on it, because the water that I give is living water. And then he begins to go deeper. And that's what happens. And she didn't even plan for this encounter, like many of you have today. You might not even plan to have an encounter with God, but he's planned to have one with you. Oh, I love that. He begins to pull off the mask. He begins to take off that veneer on the outside. And he says to her, go get your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right. Then he says, in fact, the man you're living with, he's not your husband, and you've had five before him. And I always love what she says to him after that. She says, I perceive you're a prophet. She was amazed, but she realized at that moment that Jesus wasn't there to condemn her, that he wanted the best for her. Hear me, somebody, today. Jesus, I don't care what you've heard. He's not out to beat you down. He's out to lift you up and to help you and to lift you out of whatever it is that you're hurting with. Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that the man that we know as the great apostle Paul, his name used to be Saul. He had despised Christians. He put many to death. But on that one day, God put a light on him and transformed his life and the works that he did forever. And sometimes we come to God with this mask on, a mask that says everything is okay. We walk the walk, we talk the talk, and really nobody knows what's going on the inside of us because we want to keep it covered up. And Jesus says to you and I today, open it up. And you don't have to stand up and open it up to the world, but I'm going to tell you something, you need to open it up to him today. Because sometimes on the inside we're hurting, we're upset, we're angry, we're disappointed, we're confused, and so on and so on. And we keep it covered up, and we don't allow him to come in and change us into what he has called us to be. And it's only when we allow God to see everything on the inside that he can come in and he can fix what is broken in our lives. On the outside, we might look like we have it together, but when I open up and I reveal who I am to God, then he begins to fix it. The Bible says in Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Look at that again. He heals the brokenhearted. Hey, stay with me up there, Paul. What are you doing? You got that scripture? Don't mess me up in my preaching up there, Paulie. One day Jesus went into the temple and he saw a man there. The Bible says he had a withered hand. Paulie, that's in Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Is that on there? Okay, stay with me the old-fashioned way. You're going to have to open up your Bible today. Mark chapter 3, 1 through 6, Jesus saw a man. The Bible says he was a man, he had a withered hand. And Jesus said, I want you to show me your hand. That man at that moment had a decision to make. Was he going to show Jesus the withered hand? Because all Jesus said is stretch out your hand. He had the choice to make. He had a good one and he had a bad one. Now, let me tell you something. It wouldn't have done any good today for him to take the bad hand, put it behind his back and say, hey, here I am, Jesus. Aren't I cool? I got it all together. But no, this man, he put out what was damaged, what was hurt, what had been abused, what had been broken, what had been trampled on. He put out the withered hand to Jesus, and immediately when Jesus saw that hand, he made it well. My brothers and sisters, today, sometimes we want to just put out our good side to Jesus, but Jesus is saying, don't put out your good side to me. Open up your heart. Let me come in, and I'll fix what's ever wrong inside of your life today. He can handle the ugly that is inside of you. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around. Stretch forth your issue to him. Stretch forth that dysfunction. Stretch forth that pain. Stretch forth that depression. Stretch forth that thing that has run in your family all of your life. And everybody says you're that way because your father was that way and his father was that way. I'll never remember after I gotten saved and my parents were gone and I was with my wife. I believe we were married. If we weren't married, we were getting close to getting married. And we went to see and a great aunt of hers, and this aunt looked at me, and she said, what's your name? I said, my name is McDonald. She says, oh, I knew your father. You must be an alcoholic, too. And I stood back, and she said, I knew your father. He was an alcoholic, and his father was an alcoholic, and you must be one, too. And I looked back at her, and I said, I'm not an alcoholic. God has changed my life. And although that was in my bloodstream, that is not who I am defined by any longer. You got to put that out to God. You can't let that old life define who you are and who you are called to be. I used to be one thing, but because I opened it up to Jesus now, he has taken that and he has taken and made beauty for ashes. He's taken the old things and made them all brand new again. And he can do that in your life as well. One of the most graphic stories of demon possession in the Bible is the story in Mark chapter 5. And I love this story. And I thought, you know, I just can't quote bits and pieces. I need to read it. You got that up there, Paulie? Yay, Paulie. Yay. I love Paulie. Don't you love Paulie? Come on. Don't you love the sound booth guys up there? Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and I'm reading out of the New International Version. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes, or the King James calls it the Gadarenes, which is probably a better definition of that word. And when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Verse 6, and when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. I want to just give you a couple thoughts right in that. Number one, God never tortures anyone. That was an evil spirit speaking on behalf of that man. Recognize the power of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus will always confuse the powers of darkness. He will always bring a conviction to the powers of darkness that you don't necessarily have to go to them. When Jesus is involved, they'll come to you. And the Bible says, for Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? Speaking to that evil. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Verse 11, a large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. And the demons begged Jesus, send us into the bacon, ham, and sausage. I said that in the first service. I said, some of you are going out to breakfast. You're going to order bacon and eggs. And look at where Jesus sends the demons, right into the pigs. He gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, they couldn't even handle it. They rushed down the steep bank into the lake and they drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed in his right mind. And they were afraid. I like that. I like that word. Change happens so much that people are afraid. You know, people walk into the church sometimes. They'll see Chris Buzniak in here. He'll walk around the corner. Hey, how are you? And they'll jump. Who's this dude here? And God has changed his life among many. So much. People don't just view him or many others like the same person. When they see him, they're afraid because they remembered him one way and now they see him in another way. And that's what God does. He doesn't leave you the way you are. He changes you into who you can be. Those who seen him told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus, leave. It always boggles my mind when God does something good. You always have a chorus of people saying, we don't want what you got. We're comfortable living with demonic oppression and hell in our lives. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. And Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. I'm going to close with these three thoughts. Number one, what was inside of him hurt his outward. And whatever inside of you will not stay inside of you. It will have an effect on the outward. He began to cut himself. He began to throw himself against the stones and the rocks. And whatever is inside of you will have a direct reflection on the outside of you. Number two, Jesus, some of you need to hear this, he's not surprised, nor is he uptight over your inward dysfunction or the demons that you are facing in your life. Jesus said, pure and simple, he didn't do anything loud, there was no fireworks going on. He looked at that thing. He said, come out of this man, you impure spirit. I just wonder sometimes if we go through a whole lot of trouble sometimes trying to do things that if we prayed over someone or over ourselves and we just said, no more, come out now in Jesus' name, if we would be free and if we would be healed. Jesus said to him, come out. And Jesus never spoke to the man. He never assigned the trouble that this man caused to the person himself. He assigned it to an evil spirit in his life. And then lastly, Debbie, come on up. Whatever possesses you, it will mark you. Hear that? Whatever is on the inside of you, it will mark who you are. It will mark you. If the world and the devil possess you, then you'll have that appearance all over you. But if Jesus possesses you, you will be marked as well. You will have favor on your life. You will have uncommon blessing. You will have things happen inside of you and for you that you can't even imagine. And you know what the whole focus is? We sang it earlier this morning. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And you and I must come to him. Because he loves you and he wants to have this relationship with you, no matter what's going on inside, no matter what your past is. And the great thing is that when it's all over, he uses the scars in your life to tell others what had happened. Jesus told that man, no, I don't want you to go with me. I want you to go back to your family. Let other people see what God has done. He'll change your life. He'll make you brand new. He'll give you a new name. He'll take old things away out of you. He'll deliver you from the hurt and the dysfunction and the brokenness that is in your life. He'll make you into who he has called and created you to be. I'm not reading this just out of a book this morning either. That happened in my life. That was me. That's why I'm so passionate about doing what I'm doing. I'm not doing this because I couldn't do anything else. I'm doing this because my life was changed as a young boy, losing a sister and a brother, my dad and my mom by the time I was 17, and becoming homeless and being full of brokenness and bitterness and hurt and anger. I was a miserable young man, angry. Angry even after that. But one day, I had an encounter with the power of God's Holy Spirit in my life. It began to take hold of the inside And one by one, from the inside out, he began to pull those things out of me. He took the anger out. I used to see my dad beat up my mom, beat up my brothers, beat us, scream at us, so then take me to the bar with him and sit on a dirty, smelly end of a bar stool with his arm around another woman. And I was sitting over there in the corner. I was angry. I was bitter. But one by one, God began to pull that memory out of me. Oh, I remember it, but the sting of it has no effect on me no more, because God, he began to deliver me from the inside out. I thought one time when I was a kid that I said, I'll never use alcohol, I'll never drink, because of what I saw it do in my family, only to find out at 13, 14, 15 years old, I was doing the same thing that my father did, and it began to bring pain. And then one day God just began to pull that out of me. I took it to another level, because that's just the way I am. If a little bit will do a little good, a lot's got to do a lot of good. And I went from the alcohol to the drug scene, and I began to abuse myself and hurt myself. But then when I had that encounter with Jesus from the inside out, he began to change my life. And that's why when I tell you, when we first met here this morning, that it doesn't matter where you came from or what your background is, I am convinced like I've never been before. I'm more passionate about this than I ever have before, that God can take a dark, broken life and he can change you. Yes, come on. You ought to get more excited about that, because he's done it with you. You don't have to stay the same way you were. For some of you that are here this morning, and I'm going to close. You're like that woman at the well. You didn't even anticipate what you're feeling right now. To be honest with you, I didn't either. But I feel the beautiful hand of God right now. I want some of my prayer team to come down here and just stand down at the front. I'm going to close the service in a minute. But then before you leave, if you're here and you need prayer for anything, in fact, why don't you just close your eyes and bow your head with me? If you're here this morning, you never gave your heart to Christ, what a day to do that. You'll be a brand new creature in Christ. Every person that stands down in the front here has had that experience in their life where at one time they were broken and hurting, and God came in and changed everything. And that's why they can stand down here, pray, believe God with you and not judge you, but love you. Then maybe you're here today and you've known the Lord. And I want to say this to the person, and you're struggling. You don't want to open up your heart. But God's calling you to another level today. And I just want to say, I'm reminded of that scripture in the Old Testament. Why sit you there until you die? I mean, like, how much longer are you going to live the way you are living? You're trying to do everything on the outward to make things look good, but on the inward, you're hurting and you're angry and you're dying inside. And it's nothing that a person can do to help you. But when you come to Jesus, he changes everything. Praise be to his name today. If you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that before you leave. And you can come right down, just your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for a moment. He loves you so much. He sent Jesus into the world, give his life for you, change your life. He's changed mine. He's changed so many. He wants to change yours. You need to give him your life today. If you've never done that, and when I close in prayer, I just want you to get out of your seat, come down, say to one of these down here, I want to give my life to Christ today. That's not joining churches, or it's nothing like that. If I never see you again, I'm okay with that. But if I never see you, I'd like to see you go to have him now first place in your life. For some of you, you've known the Lord, you've struggled, and you're just right now, you're already planning to beeline it for that door. But I pray the Holy Spirit will put his arm around you and draw you. The Bible says, confess one to another so that you may be healed. I'm going to close in prayer. then the altar is open for you to come. Father, today I thank you so much for the word of the living God. Thank you for everything that's taken place today. But now, Holy Spirit, we depend totally on you. May you have your way. May you do what no other person can do. We give you praise and thanks for it today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you.